In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the book of Acts, we see how in some cases, the great manifestation of having received the Holy Spirit was to speak in tongues. In fact, at Pentecost, the Word of God in the book of Acts of Apostles tells us, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak different languages as the Spirit gave them power to express themselves. Now there were devout men living in Jerusalem from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, they all assembled, and each one was bewildered to hear these men speaking his own language. This fact contains a very deep teaching that in order to understand it, we have to remember what the book of Genesis tells us about the Tower of Babel that says, the whole world spoke the same language with the same vocabulary. Now, as people moved eastwards, they found a valley in the land of Shinar where they settled. They said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them in the fire. For stone, they used bricks, and for mortar, they used bitumen. Come, they said, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top reaching heaven. Let us make a name for ourselves so that we do not get scattered all over the world. Now Yahweh came down to see the city and the tower that the people had built. So they are all a single people with a single language, said Yahweh. This is only the start of their undertakings. Now nothing they plan to do will be beyond them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language there, so that they cannot understand one another. Yahweh scattered them thence all over the world, and they stopped building the city. That is why it was called Babel, since there Yahweh confused the language of the whole world, and from there Yahweh scattered them all over the world. According to what the book of Genesis tells us, the diversity of peoples and languages is the result of a collective sin, the sin of pride, like that of the first parents. So we can say that this gift or charism is the manifestation of the unity that God wants to restore with man and among men in his divine will, unity that sin broke and that can only be restored by the Holy Spirit in Jesus Christ our Savior. God wants to carry out this work through his church, and the Holy Spirit is the great protagonist, because in reality, the time of the church is always the time of the Holy Spirit. In the prayer that our Lord raises to the Father before beginning his passion, he says to him, Holy Father, take care in your name of those you have given me, so that they may be one like us. I do not pray only for these, but also for those who through their word will believe in me, so that they may all be one. Like you, Father, in me, and I in you, may they also be one in us, so that the world believes that you sent me. For this reason, before his ascension to heaven, our Lord told his apostles in the book of Luke, chapter 24, verse 49, and now I am sending upon you what the Father has promised, which is the Holy Spirit, and adds, stay in the city then until you are clothed with the power from on high, that is, until you receive the Holy Spirit, and he begins to carry out this work of restoring the unity of man with God and the unity among men through the church. The Catechism of the Catholic Church in number 688 teaches us that the church is the place where we can meet the Holy Spirit in the sacred scriptures that he has inspired, in the magisterium of the church that he assists, in the sacramental liturgy where he puts us in communion with Christ, in the witness of the saints where he manifests his holiness and continues the work of salvation, and also in prayer in which he intercedes for us and the charisms through which the church is built. For all this, today, beyond the diversity of languages that exist, when a charismatic community of the Catholic Church, that is, of the universal church, whatever its geographical location, unites in prayer, the Holy Spirit becomes present through this gift or charism to manifest the unity of the church in him. The gift of tongues manifests itself in two ways, xenoglossy and glossolalia. Xenoglossy is the charism that gives the ability to speak in tongues without having previously studied or learned them, and which are unknown to the speaker. This phenomenon implies both the knowledge of the language, as well as the oral use, reading and writing of the unknown language, and is fully understood by the person who speaks it. A great example of this we see in the life of St. Pio of Pietrelcina, who was able to speak and write in languages that he did not know. In the video, The Guardian Angel and St. Padre Pio, Part 2, on our 99 Catholics channel, Father Ruggiero affirms that one day, five Austrians showed up who wanted to confess to Padre Pio, despite not knowing a word of Italian. He thought that Padre Pio would reject them for not understanding them. But when the first one left, he came out laughing, and the others also came out with great joy. I asked Padre Pio a few days later how he had managed to hear the confessions of the five Austrians who did not know Italian, and he replied, "When I want to, I understand everything." Glossolalia is the charism that makes the person emit incomprehensible words or sounds. That is to say, that in a rational way, they cannot be understood. It is an exceptional language that embraces the human world and the celestial world, and that requires an interpretation that, like him, is of divine origin. An idiom means a manner of speaking, a mode of expression peculiar to a language which the members of a human community communicate, while language means a body of words and set of methods of combining them called a grammar of a people or nation. So applying these concepts to glossolalia and following what St. Paul tells us in his first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 13, verse 1, "Though I command languages both human and angelic, if I speak without love, I am no more than a gong booming or a cymbal clashing." Where he speaks of a language of angels, we can say that glossolalia is the language of heaven, the language through which we can have the most intimate communication with God through the Holy Spirit. St. Paul tells us, "And as well as this, the Spirit too comes to help us in our weakness. For when we do not know how to pray properly, then the Spirit personally makes our petitions for us in groans that cannot be put into words." The prohibition stated by St. Paul to speak in tongues in assemblies without someone to interpret them is justified by the nature of community meetings, which with the help of the Holy Spirit, his gifts, and their charisms, seek to build up the community. Now, in the meetings of the charismatic groups that exist today, prayer and singing in tongues is heard, even without performing the respective interpretation. But even manifesting in this way, the indication of St. Paul is not unknown, because prayer in tongues is recognized as a way of the Holy Spirit to build up the community, to manifest his presence, and a potential sign that serves as a call to how many are in search of the truth. When hearing others pray in tongues, you do not understand what is being said. In some people, this prayer in tongues causes tears, so they cry. In other people, it causes a deep peace that they enjoy. In other people, it causes restlessness and they want to scream, so they bring out that aggressiveness if they have it in their hearts.
Mysterium Fidei.
As we have mentioned, God wants to fully restore unity with man and among men. From what we could say, glossolalia is a sign of the unity that God wants to restore with man. And xenoglossy is a sign of the unity in him, in his Holy Spirit, that God wants to restore among men. Finally, and above all, it is necessary to bear in mind that love is, and always will be, the greatest of all gifts. As it is, these remain: faith, hope, and love, the three of them, and the greatest of them is love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.